Hey, welcome to the New Blather. This is the New Blather Podcast, episode one. The first one. Oh boy, this is going to be so much fun. Yeah, right. No, it definitely is. Let's see. I moved Blather. It's fun to say. Blather. The first blog was on Blogger, switched it to WordPress, and now it is a podcast, since WordPress is much, much better at hosting podcasts as well. So let's see how it goes, turning Blather into a podcast, or the New Blather. I renamed it, so it's different. So this is the first episode for Saturday, August 23rd, 2008. I'm not a very good speaker, which you'll be able to tell soon. But one of the points of this podcast is hopefully to help me become a better speaker, you know, without having to edit my own talking over and over again. Because I'm always unsure of what to say next. So let's see, what to say next. Oh yeah, so anyway. Nope, I don't want to say that next. Let me think of something else. Oh, let's just move on. Oberon's Paradise, my short story that I wrote. When did I finish? I can't even remember. I think it was like in February or January or February. I finally got my second rejection slip for it. So I'm going to send that back out to another magazine. There are only like three or four other magazines left that I wanted to send it to. And if they all reject me, which they probably will, I'm not yet sure what I want to do. One thing I could do is I could look for other markets that don't pay as much, cheaper markets. See if any of them would buy it. They probably wouldn't pay me much, and probably not many people would read it. But you know, I'd still get paid something, and more people would read it than if I just posted it on my site. But the other option I have is to just post it on my site. And if I do that, I'd probably podcast it, like read it out loud, and try to dramatize it, and probably have some incidental music in the background, because that would be really fun to do. So if they all reject it, and they probably will. So you'll probably find it here, on my website, in however long it takes them to reject it. So that was the first thing I wrote. Moving along. Oh, YouTube. A YouTube video. I came across a YouTube video with the game designer Will Wright and some musician that I've never heard of. And I don't even know how to pronounce his name, so I'm not, and it doesn't really matter anyway, because, he's very unpopular, and nobody even knows who he is. No, actually, maybe some people do know who he is, but those are people who already know who he is. Let's see, what happened? Oh yeah, so Will Wright and this musician gave some talk about generative systems. It was a while ago. It's kind of an old video, but I just came across it. And basically, generative systems are systems in which emergent properties come about. In a sense, almost any game could be considered a generative system, because patterns emerge from gameplay, you know, especially certain games, like something like strategic, like chess, almost any strategy game, really. Let me think of some game that would not be a generative system. Maybe some kind of like the game War in cards, where it's just completely by chance. That's not very generative, I guess. Or some dice game where you're just rolling dice. Those aren't generative in the game, but people still playing because of the social aspect, that you talk and stuff while you're playing the game. So there's still a social aspect to it, and if you include the social aspect, maybe you could consider it a generative system. I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, so a generative system. I quote Wikipedia on the blog. I say, systems that use a... Wikipedia calls generative systems systems that use a few basic rules to yield extremely varied and unpredictable patterns. And then one example that they use in the YouTube video that I posted is the Game of Life, where you have a few simple rules. John Conway's Game of Life, where you have a few simple rules determining whether or not a node or a cell will live or die based on whether its neighbors are alive or whether they're dead. And then just a few, like three simple rules for that, for each generation of a cell. And you get all these complex patterns, and, you know, you could emulate, you know, theoretically, if you had enough cells, you could emulate a computer, and then you could emulate just about anything a computer can emulate, I guess. So that's pretty cool. And then he also, there were two, the one on, there are two versions of the talk. The one on YouTube is just a clip from a longer talk, and then I give the link to the, a link to the longer talk in my blog, which is like an hour and 20 minutes or so. It's pretty long, but if you have time to sit through it and you think generative systems are one of the most fascinating things ever, which I do because I'm so smart, then you can go watch the that longer one. In the longer one, Will Wright goes off and he talks about the upcoming game Spore, which has, you know, definitely has a lot of the Maxis games have to do with generative systems, but definitely Spore, and then, you know, that's going to be really popular. You know, The Sims 2, what is it? The first Sims became the best-selling computer game of all time. So people love generative systems, even if they don't really know what generative systems are. At least I assume they do, because why else would they buy The Sims? They must all know something about generative systems. yeah, right. Most people who buy The Sims are just really dumb people. I'm serious. Let's see what else. One thing they mention in the longer talk of the version, they start, since one of the Will Wright, game designer, everybody knows who he is, then there's the musician who nobody knows who he is, but he writes, he uses generative systems to write music, and so his music is kind of like atmospheric kind of stuff that nobody would want to listen to. Well, you know, people would listen to it, but it's in the background, and it's not something people would be paying attention to constantly, like when you're listening to a piece by Mozart or a piece by me, since I'm, you know, right up there with Mozart. No, it's true, I am. Will Wright asks him a question, the musician a question. He says, and I'll just quote, Will Wright says, "Can you imagine any sort of, even this past computational filter that would pre-listen to the music, analyze the structure, look for a pattern, whatever, and would at least prune out 90% of what that you obviously..." See, he's not a very good speaker either. "Prune out the 90% that you obviously don't want to listen to and focus your efforts on the 10% that has some promise." To which the musician, Brian, says... Oh, his name was Brian. I kept thinking his name was Michael. Where'd he get that from? Oh, well. To which Brian says, "No, it's funnily. That's what he says. It's funnily. Funnily enough. That's okay. Anyway, he says, "So no, it's funnily enough. There's been a lot of research into that because, you know, there are always people trying to figure out how you write a hit. So there's been all sorts of attempt to do that, but they've been astoundingly unsuccessful so far." Well, I don't know about a hit. I don't know. You know, maybe people are trying to write hits, but just to write a piece. If you can get the computer to write a piece a piece of music that you yourself would enjoy listening to, I think that would be, who cares whether or not it's a get-rich-quick scheme that you write a hit, but just to... if I had a computer program that just wrote music that I enjoyed listening to, that would be enough. I wouldn't seek getting that piece to be a hit. Anyway. Blah, 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 blah. What am I talking about now? Oh, yeah, so I say on the blog... I don't know whether or not Brian, Mr. Brian, whatever his name is familiar with David Cope's work, because David Cope is a music professor and programmer who has programmed a program which writes music. And he does that by, it doesn't work by, looking back at Will Wright's, it doesn't work in exactly the way Will Wright says, where it outputs a bunch and then filters it instead. But it does pre-listen to music and analyze the structure, look for patterns, and then writes music based on the patterns it found and recombines, you know, it takes a bunch of music, takes pieces out of it, and then recombines it so that it has a lot of the same patterns and stuff. If you're interested in music and you're interested in computers writing music, then you should definitely check out David Cope's awesome work. On his website, he has example MP3s, and he's got a bunch of books out. I read one of them. I didn't have enough time to read all the others. But he's got like three, four, five or something out there about his program and about music and stuff. It's really pretty darn cool stuff. Anyway, so I don't know. I would say that David Cope's program is a form of a generative system, definitely. So I think Brian should look at David Cope's website. But you know, he's already kind of a wealthy guy, so who really cares? Oh, and then I say, what do I say in my blog? I say, so I have started writing a book on the art of melody, or started planning it, really. I think I will definitely explore the subject of a generative system for melody. I'm not sure I'll do anything really new, but it must be a fascinating area of study. So I guess I should do that, since I just blogged that I would. But I'm not going to do that anytime soon. I'll do it in a couple of years. I'll just think about it for now. Oh, there was a book at the library I came across, said, is your child strong-willed? No, what was it? The book was called Strong-Willed Child or Dreamer. Boom, boom, boom. But, you know, looking at it, Yeah, I'm a strong-willed dreamer. There you go. How about that? Do I want to edit this or not? I probably should for your sake, but for my sake, I probably won't. Or actually, for my sake, I probably should, but I still won't for my other sake. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, and then I visited Mr. David Cope's website, and he has two free rough draft books up temporarily, one on musical suggestions for beginning music students and one on board games, which is great, because I was just talking about board games. So games, music, and generative systems, you know, everything is related. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense at all? Generative systems can be applied to games and to music. So there's the link between games and music, generative systems. And then I brought up David Cope, and David Cope is writing a book about board games. See, it's like a link of some sort. Don't know what I'm talking about. That's how it's going to be on the new blather. It's going to be so bad. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, that's first episode. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, since it's Saturday, it's the end of the week, which means tomorrow starts off a new week, right? Because it's Sunday tomorrow. Oh, that reminds me, I have to go to church tomorrow, too. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that means I have to wake up early. Oh, boy, that'll be fun. So since it's Sunday, we have to figure out what kind of week it's going to be. So first we have to pick a... First, we have to pick a random letter. Let's see, what random letter can we pick? It is the letter A. Oh, that's nice and random. The letter A. So, let's look through this dictionary here and pick a random word that starts with the letter A. Doop. Oops. That didn't work. Let's try that again. Here we go. Random word starts with the letter A, and it is, darn it. I keep not getting the letter A. Let's try it again. Bloop. Aha. Alarm clock. Alarm clock. What a great thing an alarm clock is, right? So that means next week is alarm clock week. Themed weeks, you know, that'll get a bunch of listeners, I'm sure. But tune in next week for alarm. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I wanted to be hip and stuff, right? So alarm clock week next week, and then next Saturday, We get to choose what the next week is going to be. Thanks for listening to the first episode. This is about 15 minutes or so, something like that. Yep, going to keep them nice and short. I don't know, is that short? It's just a lot of me blathering. I mean, that's the title of the podcast, isn't it? And that's episode 1.